audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Starts now in the studio with us tonight. Again, command performance with Andy Melanakis.
Hi. How are you?
And I was just telling Andy that he passed one of the most stringent tests of this show, which is my
pregnancy test.
No, you didn't pass. You passed that. But my wife, Susan Pinsky's acid test. She's one of the most stringent critics of the show. Loved you last night.
I thank you, and I hope she's listening, and I hope I don't piss her off this time. I hope I go for 2 for 2.
2 for 2.
Two for Tuesdays.
And I reminded Andy about, 46 seconds ago that he promised us a rap for tonight.
And I'm already 4 bars in
and
for
said,
you hip-hop fans.
He said, give me that paper, give me a pen. Okay, it doesn't take long. It's like amazing. That's genius, I tell you. So the Andy Melanakis Show, it's re-airing on MTV2, and the new season is coming up when?
March.
In March.
On MTV2, it's Sick'em Fridays.
And Andy has a toothache tonight.
A little bit of toothache.
And he's on a sick shooting schedule.
Yeah, we get whipped a little bit.
Get pansy.
Get up every morning, hit the mean streets of New York.
Yes. And that's why I don't really feel bad about it. When on the months that I'm not working, I'm a total slacker, and I wake up at 2 in the afternoon, you know.
But now you go out and abuse the senior citizens of your neighborhood.
Very early.
What are they out there doing at that time of day?
I don't even think they know, actually. I think they're just, pacing back and forth.
How do you pick a subject? Do they have to be, muttering to themselves or walking a certain way?
No discrimination. We just go up to anyone. If they have a very sour puss on their face, then we leave them alone, you know. But it's hard sometimes. Because sometimes people look angry. And you walk up to them and you say something to them and then they start smiling.
They're delightful, yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going to see a revisitation of I Was Going to Say That?
No, but we have some things that are similar to the same bits.
Okay.
I don't want to ruin them.
Do you need time to work on your rap there?
Dirty talk. It's dirty talk. Dirty. It's dirty talk. Hey.
That's what he does without any preparation. So we now give him 3 or 4 minutes preparation. Let's see what he does. I'll take a call first. This is Stephanie, who's 18.
Hi.
Stephanie, you're on Loveline. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hello.
And this, hello there. What's going on?
I'm having problems with my clitoris.
Came to the right place. You're on with Andy Melanakis.
Hi.
Hello.
You sexy bitch.
I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
It's interesting.
You are interesting. That's okay. One of the new bits. People will say, why do you like pizza? Because it's cheesy. You're cheesy. It's interesting. It's so dumb.
Well, what's going on tonight, Stephanie? You sound like you got a problem.
Yeah, I don't know if it's from, when I was younger, when I got molested by my grandpa.
Ew.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was, 4, and it sucks. And then I've had, a lot of other history happen later on through the years. So it's just no fun.
You seem like a pretty happy girl, all things considered, so...
Like rape and that sort of thing?
Keep your head up.
Yeah. This is not cool. I got a beep.
You got a what?
You got a beep?
Oh. Somebody's calling in.
It's me.
No, they can handle it. They can
come
handle
on, this
answer.
Is goddamn Loveline. This is more important than your stupid beep. It's probably your psycho grandfather.
Okay, well, they can call
nation,
back.
Right, the nation's going to hold on while you check your call. Come on now. So you haven't told us yet what your problem is.
All right, when my, right on it, if it's messed with, it hurts. But around it, it doesn't.
Your what?
My clitoris.
I'm sorry. If somebody touches it, it hurts?
Yeah, right on it.
Direct stimulation is uncomfortable.
Yeah. But anywhere around it, it's okay.
Are you someone who orgasms with intercourse?
Yeah.
That usually is the case with people that are like that. That it's funny that most women... like direct stimulation, they will only orgasm with direct stimulation with oral sex. But the women that orgasm easily with intercourse, any direct stimulation is too much. So there you go. So that's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says here something about chlamydia.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Tell us about that.
Oh, that, like, really made me mad tonight. But anyway, yeah, I was wondering, like, how long would it take for, like, a lab result to come back for my boyfriend?
For your boyfriend, in terms of whether he has chlamydia?
Yeah.
It can be very quick. There are urine screens on it that are almost immediate.
Oh, well, that's cool.
So get him tested. Well, he needs to be treated either way. You got to assume, if you have it, you have to assume he has it.
Yeah.
And to sort of go round and round about who gave it to whom is irrelevant at this point. You just both need to be treated.
That way,
you
may have had it done and over with.
Yeah, go ahead and confront him. Talk about it, whether or not
he did, just like a little bit ago.
And did he say whether he thought he had it or not?
No, he says he didn't. He's like, didn't know what the symptoms. He said nothing's changed with his.
Has he cheated?
Huh?
Has he cheated?
Not that I know of.
Did you ask him? Did you ask him?
No. He don't seem like the type, though.
What are you doing for birth control?
Who, me?
Yeah, you. The one I'm talking to.
Yeah, I'm on...
You're just lucky Andy's focused on his rap right now, or he'd be taking you apart, I think.
I'm writing. What's up, girl? What you got? The disease?
Chlamydia.
Yeah, that's the wrong bag.
You gotta get that tested.
No, she definitely tested. She definitely has it. Now she needs to get treated. The boyfriend needs to get treated.
I got my pills tonight.
Right. The boyfriend needs to get them too. And the question I have is, you got azithromycin probably. The question I have is why you guys aren't using condoms.
Don't know.
All right. Are you doing anything for birth control?
Yeah, I'm on birth control. Well, I haven't been this month because I had to stop taking them for this month because I messed up my cycle. So right. I had to stop all together, and
you're going to be taking some antibiotics. And you're going to be taking some antibiotics right now, so they may not be working so well. So you need to. Will you at least take one thing away from this call, and please promise us you'll wear condoms for this month?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
You got to be responsible.
This
is luckily something you get over. I mean, if you catch one of the bad ones, your whole life is in the garbage.
Do you freak out about that?
I'm so paranoid. Like, some of my friends don't use condoms, and they just kind of dismiss it. Like, yeah, whatever, whatever. They just really just are so dumb. They just don't think it's going
to
happen to them.
Andy wears one all the time, just to be sure.
I have one on right now.
That's what I figured. I haven't figured that.
I have actually two on right now.
Two? Well, two doesn't work as well as one.
Well, no, I have two penises, so there's one on each penis.
Then you need two. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. Well done. This is now Megan of 17.
Yes. Hi.
Megan. Hi.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey. Okay, well, I have a question here. I have been kind of fooling around with this guy, and he's kind of into the biting thing, and that's cool with me and everything, but I find, he played a part in Dracula, and he was Dracula, and so he's kind of gotten used to it.
Which Dracula did he play Dracula in?
It was a school play.
Yeah. Who played the tree?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Well, that's important. This whole problem, I mean, it's an important part. It's not just like filler. I mean, we have to find out who played the tree.
Somebody played the tree.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Where is he biting you? What part of the body?
Like on the neck, and it's kind of part of it. Like he bites me on the that was nice. He bites me on the neck and whatnot, and like kind of on the lower or the upper shoulder, kind of lower neck part, and it feels good, and that is perfectly fine. But I find it kind of like an addiction. Like
you're
it's
addicted.
Kind of, huh?
He's addicted to it, or you're addicted to it?
Starting to get addicted to it. Like, I'm kind of like, okay, I want you to bite me now. And I think about it constantly during the day, like during school and stuff. I'll be sitting there out of nowhere. I'll just, like, feel like he's, like, biting me, but he's not really there. It's really weird. Yeah. And, like, during sex and stuff, he hasn't bit me during sex, but I've bit him, and he's like, okay, that feels really good. And so I want him to bite me during sex, and I want him to bite me, like, any point in time.
Is he a method actor? I mean, is he still doing Dracula the play?
No,
because sometimes when you're a method actor, you act out all these things. Like, I played this Swedish 10-year-old once, and I ate a lot of meatballs like for like 5 months.
Because
I wanted to get in the character. I don't even like meatballs.
That is
Megan. It's just.
Yes.
your form of arousal. You guys are into this thing. If for some reason pain for you is something that you sort of need fetishistically to sort of function sexually, you know, that happens. That it doesn't necessarily, it's hard to sort of give you a precise explanation for how or why that happens. I'd be careful with it. If you've been physically abused, either of you growing up, it does tend to become a preoccupation with sexuality. Brian's 23.
Oh,
Brian.
Hey. Dr. Drew, Andy, how you guys doing?
What's up, player?
I'm doing good.
How much, playboy?
Player.
I'm calling. I just got back from Iraq about a year ago. My wife got back in July. We got married shortly before we left for Iraq. Everything before we went to Iraq, as far as sexual, was she was crazy about it. You know, she wanted it all the time. I couldn't give it to her enough. And during Iraq, we had some problems. We weren't over there together. We were over there in different spots. And coming back, she said she doesn't feel the same about me no more, and she's just not, the same towards me sexually.
What were the problems you had in Iraq? You just sort of tossed that out as though it was...
She's got problems dating back way before. Like, she's got emotional problems. Like, she had a boyfriend that used to abuse her sexually, mentally, physically, everything.
Right.
And then when she was younger, she got... You know, she had some molestation problems from some cousins.
Okay.
When she was younger, some older cousins. But in Iraq, she was getting sexually harassed, and she was coming to me for moral support. But I was, you know, being the gung-ho guy that I am, wanting to come over there and kill some people and getting mad about it. And I blew up on her one night, and after that, everything changed. She had stopped communicating with me, basically telling me everything, and... just basically after that, everything changed.
All right. So this is a very serious problem with the abuse, trauma, maybe post-traumatic stress disorder even, both prior to going to Iraq for her and maybe even now after. She perceived or at least experienced some of the interaction with her peers as abusive. This is a really bad situation. And then she's also sort of cutting you off for some reason, and God only knows what that reason is.
Oh, well, I don't know why she cut me off. I think she has
very serious mental health problems, as you've alluded to, and she needs to get treated, and she needs to sort out what it is she's going to do with this relationship. There's nothing you can do.
Right now she wants a divorce, and I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should hang in there or if I should just let her go and...
Well, you shouldn't hang in unless you get some. You got to get some professional help. This is a bigger project than you can handle.
We've already went to the help as far as the military. She's already seen people, and they're focusing on the wrong things. They're not focusing on her problems from before. They're just focusing on me and her. They're not focusing on her past problems.
And what did they tell you guys to do? What did they think would be a good plan?
They put her on medication.
Good. And what do they think would be a good plan with the marriage?
They told her to wait it out and see how she feels, but I can't, you know, I'm not just going to wait around when somebody says they don't know if they love me anymore, you know?
Andy, what do you think?
I think she should respect that you are fighting for your country.
She was there, too.
I knew he was going to say something like that.
I think that she should respect that you were both fighting for your country and that things should change because you are a man of your word and that you like popcorn and movies. I'm sorry, I was writing my rap. I wasn't paying attention.
His wife has a history of sexual abuse, and she's pretty chaotic, and she went to Iraq. She felt she got abused by her peers. She was constantly complaining to her husband, which is our caller. Mm-hmm. He blew up at her one night, then she just cut him off since. They're seeing the mental health people at the military. They're putting her on medication, which is good, mm-hmm. but she's saying she wants a divorce. Should they do it?
If she wants a divorce, I mean, it depends how long you tried. If you tried and tried, I mean,
well,
there's no point in trying
July.
To stretch it out. You
she
think what?
July, I've been trying ever since, and she just can't cope. Like, there's a whole, she has problems with a whole bunch of little things before we got married, and she had plenty of time to think about it over there. And just
all I know is I think the worst thing that you could do is stretch out a relationship longer than it should be because I know people who have been together with, a girlfriend for 4 years that they were miserable. Like, it's just a waste of your life. Life is too short, man. Move on.
These guys are married. They made a commitment.
They made a commitment, but if it's not working and you've been trying for months and months and months, when is enough? What, are you going to wait 3 years? Are you going to spend 6 years of your life just, like, trying to win her over again?
I understood that, and that's why I already said I'm moving.
Do you have
now.
Kids? Do you have kids?
No kids.
All right, make one pledge to us tonight. Whatever you decide to do, you will not have children with this woman for a long time.
Well, she's not even freaking having sex with me, so I don't think that's going to be a problem.
All right, so it sounds like you've sort of...
Maybe if you've given up, and if you really have given up, and you're just like, all right, I give up, we're out of here,
I'm out of here. That's why I'm even calling y'all. If I gave up, I wouldn't bother wasting my time.
Well, maybe it's time to give up.
Maybe it's time to give up. I don't know. You've sort of said you've given up, and then we articulated that. Then you said, no, I haven't.
Well, I tried, and then...
You said I'm moving out. She's forced me to give up. Well, you've told her you're moving out, and you're done. That's given up. And that's fine. It may be time. Andy's right. If you had professional help, she's not willing to change. There are no resources available to get her more definitive kinds of care. You've done everything you possibly can. There is a point at which that's that.
Yeah, the true time. I mean, time will tell. I mean, if you leave and, you know, you give it time and you're apart for a month and you kind of like full force leave her, you know, maybe she'll come crying back. Maybe you'll take her back. Maybe not.
It is a huge, Brian, you've taken on a gigantic project. I mean, you're basically, you're the general of a battalion or something here. And the cards are stacked up against you on this one.
Remember anything.
Brandon. 24. Yes. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
That's what I want to know from you.
What's up?
Andy?
What's up, son?
Oh, hey, I got a question, I guess, for Dr. Drew. I've been sleeping with my girlfriend for the past 8 months, and when we first started, she could only orgasm from on top, and she says that it's been that way her whole life with all her boyfriends. And recently, you know, about a few months ago, we figured out that she could do it with me on top and that I could do it with my hands, which she said is something that has never happened her whole life. But I still cannot make her climax orally, and have, you know, read a lot about it, have tried different techniques, going slow, going fast, soft, hard.
You heard us talking to that caller earlier tonight, right?
No.
And we just had a call about 10 minutes ago with a woman who was able to orgasm with intercourse who could not tolerate any direct stimulation. And that is typical. Is women, they're able to orgasm with intercourse. The more orgasmic they are with intercourse, the less they are able to with oral sex, and vice versa.
You can't have your clit and eat it too. I mean,
thank you. Write that down. Kay. Put that on a loop.
Well, it just seems strange because, you know, from the get go, she was almost unable to orgasm from intercourse as well. We sort of had to, you know, work with that and, you know, make it work.
You just conquered her. You found out another way she can orgasm. Now is your time to have a 2-month celebration. Eat some potato chips. Go on a little hike around the world.
You sure she's not faking it?
It's possible. She says she's not, and we're pretty open about it. So I would think that she wouldn't be. So.
And what have you been trying with the oral sex?
Basically, you know, I read this this book the other day, and it was saying basically that everything that I had been doing beforehand was incorrect. And
clit stimulation, you know, for dummies.
What?
pretty much. It's I don't know. It's probably the wrong book to be reading, but it's the Vice Guide to Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Well, what were you doing before, and what did it tell you to do this time?
Some of the things that it said was to, you know, wait until she's, you know, completely wet and aroused to go. To go down.
You should have tried Dr. Seuss's book. Clit I am. I do not want any green eggs in clit.
Yeah, me neither. To start incredibly slow, basically that the buildup was more important than anything, and once you find something that you think is going to bring her to climax, keep it as the same as you possibly can, which I try to do. And, you know, the other day I went for about an hour, and she, you know, said afterwards that she was very close many times, but then would lose it for some reason. Either I would change something or whatever. But I was trying to be very conscious of not changing anything, and I don't know. I'd very much like to make her orgasm from oral sex.
Just think light touch, slow, rhythmic, flat part of the tongue, that kind of thing. And much different than what you would want. Very different. Let me put it to you this way. Have you ever had an experience where it's like almost, no. Oh, it's gone. No, males don't have that experience. They don't have that. And that's just one example of the many, many differences. So be sure you're tuning in to what she is doing, how she's responding, not in any way thinking about what you would want in those situations. How close are we to our wrap?
Pretty close. I got like one more line I got to finish.
All right.
And, you know.
Then you're, gonna.
Then I'm gonna jump off.
You're gonna break it off
I'm
proper.
I'm gonna break down. Hip hop to the hip hop, hippity hip.
So the new show will be on MTV2, right, in March?
Yeah.
And old shows are continuing to air.
They're airing, on MTV2. MTV2.com. There's a schedule. They play reruns at like midnight, 6 o'clock at night. They're just like all over the place.
And we'll see all our usual characters back again. We'll be able to make a command performance.
We'll be Larry, Rivka, Ralphie, and the guy with the fish.
The guy with the fish.
We got some new ones for him.
Nice. All right, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Love Line. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Andy Milonakis from the Andy Milonakis Show on MTV. He's on a rigorous shooting schedule. He abuses old people from early in the morning to late in the afternoon, and then goes indoors and abuses old people until late in the evening. Is that about right?
It's very friendly.
And delivery professionals.
You delivery guys.
Good hooligan.
So Andy's in here. He's writing a rap for us about Loveline, and he'll be ready to deliver that to us after the break. In the meantime, give us your call, and we'll be right back.
Loveline will be right back.
That's right. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191, the one and only, and I mean the one and only, Andy Milonakis in studio tonight.
And he's
about to lay some rhyme on us. Buster, but I'm not going to let you do it yet.
All right.
I'm going to expose you. First of all, on Anderson's behalf, he wanted to hear a little Mooty before we went into the rap.
All right.
Can you do that?
Yeah, he just pronounces a couple of words weird, so it's kind of hard to do it, but if you have any pet snails, you can say that, or you can.
Do you want to answer a call with his voice with Moody?
Sure.
Okay, this now is Tim was 28. Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
Hi, how are you? About a year ago, I was involved in a vehicle accident. We were pretty intoxicated. I wasn't driving, but I was thrown from the vehicle. All I remember is I remember hearing the sirens. I can kind of remember a few things. I remember being in back of the ambulance, and I couldn't move. I was, like, paralyzed, and they were shoving tubes down my throat.
Yep,
and I could
awful.
Hear everything they were doing.
Oof.
But I couldn't move.
Okay. What's
and now
the question?
I have this huge fear of sirens, ambulances, and nobody really believes me about this.
No, that's a common thing, to get post-traumatic stress disorder and have it triggered by all kinds of cues. You have this horrible experience, and these sort of images or these sounds or these thoughts or feelings become associated with the feelings and the trauma and the panic, and naturally enough, they'll re-trigger these things. So that's a normal thing, and that can go on for quite some time. There actually is medication, probably the best thing to try to deal with this. There's other kinds of, there's something called EMDR, where they use eye movement to try to reprogram you. There's individual therapy sometimes helpful, too, for this. I think Mooty has some input about this as well.
This is not really a Mooty-friendly song.
Oh. What's that, Tim?
One thing that really scared me was I felt completely paralyzed in the back of the ambulance. I could hear everything, but I...
Yes. It's a post-traumatic stress disorder. I had a patient once that developed PTSD. Listen to this, Mooty. This is a Mooty moment.
Hmm.
This patient, when they put you under a general anesthesia, they paralyze you.
Did he smell smelly eggs?
No, he didn't smell smelly eggs. What he smelled and what he woke up during his operation to, being completely paralyzed and having his chest cracked open for his coronary bypass, and could feel everything, including the people's hands in his chest. It was unbelievable.
That's exactly what happened to me.
And he developed a post-traumatic stress reaction that is very, very intense.
Dude, that happened to me too. No joking aside, like, I just got like a bad phone call once, and a bunch of months, like, even if it was a number that was, like, familiar to me, I would be scared to answer the phone because I thought it would be, like, bad news, like, just, like, kind of stressed out and, like, not wanting to...
So imagine you're paralyzed out on the line near death.
Like, you know, that's, you know...
So Andy can relate to it.
I can relate to it on a much smaller scale, but, you know, it doesn't seem too silly to me.
Tim.
Andy, I enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. Drew, everyone thinks that this is bogus. Is it bogus?
Well, you tell me.
Yeah, is it bogus?
Damn.
Is that an easy one?
Interesting idea. Yeah, it's a good one. You had me all the way in. But
you smell.
Well done. Now Mooty can talk to you.
I felt bad for you.
Oh! Tim, you see what you did? Now, have we reset yet there, Anderson? Anderson? Oh, I hope he was in the studio to pick this up.
Drew, like when somebody cusses, I got to concentrate for about 10 seconds. That's
okay.
Why I don't.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
Well,
sorry.
For those of you that didn't hear happened, Tim managed to evoke a huge F-bomb from Andy Malinakis. Huge. Tim was a bogus caller and had a pretty good bogus call. And Andy exposed a little tender side of himself, and it kind of pissed him off a bit, I guess. And as a result, he let go with a huge F-bomb.
I know. I wrote a rap. I made sure it was nice and clean.
All right, let's get back to the rap. So here's the deal. I want you to hear some of the other raps we've had on this show.
Okay? All right.
Before we bust yours out.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
You got to get out there and get your bitch spunk drunk. I'm telling you, nigga, that it would put you into the mode where you would have no problem to get that freaky shit going. 24/7 flowing semen here in your house. In your hizzy. For chizzy. All right.
Okay.
See my finger, see my thumb. We got the ball, you better run. S-O-C-K-I-T, sock it to me. Baby, my head is aching, my hips are tight. I'm hip to shaking from left to right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, cast check, don't take no job. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, come on, baby, we gonna win. Ow!
That's a cheer, baby, that's a cheer.
So the first one was something I did for Crank Yankers. The second one was David Alan Greer. We have anything else out there? Don't we have like a Germany or Florida or something?
And I got a ton of David Allen Greer stuff.
No, it's all that. That's good enough. All right, now we're gonna hear a real rap from the great Andy Malinakis.
Yeah. Yo, son, what up? I'm rapping on Love Line. If you win AA, don't drink that wine. If you win Overeater, don't touch that swine. If you think Dr. Drew is sexy, damn right he's fine. Damn right he's fine. Damn right he's fine. You better use a rubber or you're gonna get hurt. I don't care about your girlfriend. She's a scuzzy-ass flirt. Don't assume anything because you thought you knew. You're listening to Malinakis and my man Dr. Drew.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Word.
Put that on a loop. Thank you, Andy. Well done.
Forever part of the show.
Forever. Particularly that final refrain. I like that a lot. Is that what you call it, a rap, a refrain, or what do you call the last part?
What?
Forget it. The last part of the rap. Here, this is George's 22.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, George.
Yo, what up, son?
It's your Andy Malinakis on the show tonight. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. What's going on?
Look, motherfucker, I'm telling you.
That was me.
Just call to say what's up to Andy, that he's doing a good job acting and otherwise.
Thank you, man. Thanks.
I'm a big fan. Right now, I'm at work. Right now, I'm working at Subway.
Really? Where?
Right here in Arcata, California, man. Just listening to the show.
Arcata?
Yeah, Arcata, man.
Arcata?
Yeah. You ever been here before?
I've never been there, though. Yes, where is that by?
Santa Anita Racetrack?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh. I'm mentally brain dead when it comes to, like, geography. I don't know where I am.
Yeah, I can tell. It's okay, though. You're young. It's not your fault.
It's all good in the hood.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for watching it, man.
Hey, it's George, is there any characters you're particularly into on Andy's show?
You know, everything to me is just, like, funny. The way he is and everything he does, to me, it's, like, comical. New sense in comedy, I guess, from being so young, you know?
Thank you, sir.
How old are you, Andy?
I'm 58.
58. Well, you said he's being so young, George. I'm a little confused.
Well, we all know he's young. Come on now.
George is 22.
Yeah, I'm 22, man, and I'm just going to school, trying to get my business degree, and that's it.
Do it up, man. Do your thing. Shake your money maker. Shake your money maker. Uh-oh.
Thank you.
He's probably at that Santa Anita Mall. Is that where you are?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
How about that?
Not that far. If you guys ever stop by, hook you guys up with some sandwiches.
I like Subway.
Hey, what?
I live in Pasadena. I'm a drag Andy out to the Subway in Arcadia.
Yeah, as long as you put, you guys have cilantro.
I'll take them to you, man. Just let me know when you're going to be there again, and I'll go with it.
Only if you have cilantro.
I'll go buy cilantro for you, man.
Oh, man. You're like my soulmate.
I got you, man. Don't worry.
I got you, brother.
All right, man. You have a
thank
good
you.
One. No problem, man.
Thanks for calling, man.
Thank you.
Word.
All right, man.
So, Andy, you grew up in Queens, is that right?
Westchester County.
Westchester. Now, people maybe from around the country don't know exactly what that means. That's a pretty exclusive part of New York.
Yeah, it's pretty ghetto in some areas, though.
Is that where you lived?
No,
you lived in the mansions.
No, where I grew up, it was like it was people selling crack and.
But like Scarsdale is part of Westchester County.
It is.
The Mamaroneck and White Plains, all that stuff. Yeah.
Those are Chappaqua, where Clinton lives now, right?
Pretty highbrow places, right?
Yeah, but seriously, there's I'm so into hip hop because there's like a lot of crackheads like selling records and people breakdancing and stuff like.
Which town was that?
Mount Kisco.
Mount Kisco.
Yeah, I swear, nobody believes it. Like, they used to sell crack and tennis balls. They'd cut a slit open in a tennis ball. They'd bounce it up to houses. They'd sell it to them. The ladies who used to babysit for me were, like, you know, when I was older, they were coming over to my friend's house to score crack.
Now, hold on a second. The ladies that used to be, like, they were, like, young teenagers or something used to babysit you?
No, they were just, like, they were adults hooked on crack. They were, like, you know, 40-year-old ladies.
And they would, while they were sitting for you?
No, not while, but, like, I lived in that same complex for such a long time, so, like, I remember being watched by some of these ladies. And then when I grew up and I was, like, you know, getting older, you know, 16, 17.
Figuring out what was going on?
I was figuring out what was going on, and, you know, some of my friends were selling crack and stuff. You know, the ladies would come in, and they'd give them more food stamps to get crack.
Wow.
Like, if you buy $20 worth of crack, if you give them food stamps, you got to give them, like, $35 or whatever.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, crackheads would come up to my door with, like, trying to sell. No, I would never try any of that stuff.
You'll forgive me, but.
Crack is whack.
But you don't look like somebody that would be hanging out with crackheads.
Yeah, well, you know, I was dumb then. I mean, good thing I moved. I mean, I went to a good school. It was just like, you know, I wasn't like I didn't fear for my life or anything. I wasn't like.
Should you have been?
No, I mean, it wasn't like people walking around with guns and shooting or anything. It was still Westchester County, but this complex, man, it was ghetto, boy.
Well, you keep saying ghetto. Was it racially mixed?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of Hispanic people, a lot of black people, like two white people.
You and your mom?
Me and my mama and my daddy, my Greek daddy.
Why don't you got no play, player?
He owned restaurants and built restaurants and stuff.
And lived in the projects.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that just because he was so tight-fisted and invested in his businesses?
I guess I don't know. I mean I don't really even know my father, and it's not like he doesn't. It's not like he's not around. It's just like it's hard. It's, you know, he's a Greek boy. It's hard to really know your father. He's an alien.
Is he still working?
Yeah, he's still working.
Running restaurants.
He's busting his ass.
In Westchester still?
He's still in Westchester, and he works in Queens.
Hero sandwiches, or what does he do?
He does. He actually builds restaurants from the inside now.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's
a hard worker. He always worked like, 14-hour days.
He's still living the project?
No, he lives in a nicer area now.
That's nice. Any regrets about where they raised you?
I don't know if they have any regrets, but I loved it. I mean, I have so many, like, funny, like, crazy stories that a lot of people don't believe, but just, like...
Let me hear one.
This is not really that crazy, but, like, this character, Peanut Butter Boy, this when I put peanut butter on my face on the show, it was actually developed from when I was 8 years old. I as a fat kid, I went outside the house sometimes with a jar of peanut butter, and I was just eating it. And this Jamaican guy's like, yeah, what the guan, boy? Rub it on your face. Me give you $10. And, like, he bet me, like, $10 to smear peanut butter all on my face. And
you were 8 years old?
Yeah, I did it, and he didn't pay me. He's like, get the bumba. He's like, get out of here. And he didn't pay me. So, you know, little, like, weird things like that, you know, that I created this character, like, called Chunky Peanut Butter Boy.
And then you said when you hit high school, or I guess it was college, you sort of didn't care. You weren't into it.
Didn't care about what?
Your education or...
Oh, no, I was just, you know, I was horrible at school. I think in, like, ninth grade, my final grade for social studies was a 30.
Nice. And then you went to junior college.
Yeah. And, you know, I just... It's hard, like, I'm not, like... I'm passionate about some things that I love doing, but like I couldn't force myself to get into school.
You had some formal improv training though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Upright Citizens Brigade. I went there for I started doing that after I did my internet site though, with all my videos. It was basically prompted because I made this. You know, I started making these stupid videos on the internet.
You were working as an IT guy.
I was working as an IT guy. I was doing these weird comedy videos, and I did them for so long that I was like, all right, you know, all this stuff is fun, but I kind of want more from it. So the first class I registered for was a sketch writing class at Gotham. And then after that, I was like, oh, that was really fun. I met a lot of people. You know, I was getting to read my comedy with other people. You know, it seemed more real. And then I did improv at UCB because someone recommended it. And then all the while I was doing stuff that seemed more real and more real, Jimmy Kimmel found my internet video. So all that other stuff was fun, but like the stuff that really got me out to LA was just the stupid thing that I started with. You know?
The Super Bowl's gay.
Yeah.
Genius.
Crazy, crazy.
Andy Milonakis is in the studio. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us your call. You can talk directly with Andy tonight on Loveline, and we'll be right back.
Loveline will be right back. Be right back.
All right, it's Loveline. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We got plenty of room for you. Give us a call. You can talk with Andy Milonakis tonight, who let out a huge F-bomb and then got very serious on us after that. He's telling us a lot about his life and living in the projects, and very interesting.
I'm eating cheesy crisps.
This is John, 23.
Yes, hi, how's it going?
What's up, John?
Doing all right. I had a question about my sister a few weeks ago. She was raped.
Ooh.
Here's the story. Her husband, she's been married for about 4 or 5 years now. Her husband left for work one morning. And one of her neighbors, who has the key to the apartment, supposedly a trusted guy, actually broke into her house and raped her while she was asleep. She'd been drugged up on medicine. She'd been sick. She's also handicapped. She had a stroke about 12 years ago.
Oh, my God.
So when she was 20 years old, she had her first stroke.
From what?
She's got a condition called antiphospholipid syndrome.
Oh, my God. So it's a positive ANA syndrome.
Yeah, they have a fault with my family sometimes.
Yeah, it's a hypercoagulable state. It's called where they clot spontaneously. So anyway, go ahead.
We went to the police, and of course the gentleman that raped her said it was all consensual. I mean, it's really been hell. And the question is, you know, how far can this really go? What can the police really do for us? Does that make sense?
It's, you know, they can tell you that. They can tell you whether they have a case or not.
Well, I guess the other question I have is, what can I do to make it better for her? You know, I mean, she's afraid to be in her house alone.
Oh, my.
You know, this guy still lives two doors down.
Oh, that's awful. What's her husband doing for her?
Well, her husband at first felt very guilty. You know, he stated, you know, he thinks he left the door unlocked, which, you know, allowed this to happen. And it's rough. I guess I just don't know what to do for her to, you know, how do you put that at ease?
Is she able to take care of herself? I mean, is she bedridden and needs care?
No, she can take care of herself. She doesn't drive anymore. She used to drive, but she can take care of herself. She gets around, she staggers, you know, balance issues, but she's okay.
Another call about a post-traumatic stress disorder, which is what we're talking about here, where people have these traumatic events, they feel powerless, and then after that they have flashbacks, they feel anxious, they don't feel safe, they get depressed, they have anxiety attacks.
Exactly. I mean, I lent her husband a firearm of mine that gave them a sense of peace in their household.
Yeah, that may be for the husband, but for her, this is a neurobiological event. This is something that's happening
in
her
brain.
And,
you know, I'm also worried about when the husband's guilt turns to anger.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure the gun's such a great idea.
And I agree. I mean, I'm college educated. I understand. And I guess it's, you know, seek out counseling.
Yes, there are absolutely. Listen, there are victims of violent crime resources out there. There are people that just specialize in that. And through the police, they should refer you to somebody, I would think, certainly if you ask for it. And medication will be part of the treatment, and the other part will be some talk therapies. Andy, you said you had sort of kind of a panic reaction once, right?
Yeah.
To the telephone?
Mm-hmm.
Were you serious about that?
Yeah, I was serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should get that gun back, man. I mean, if that leads to anything, isn't it going to come back to you?
Or not back to him, but at the very least, you know, if things just get out of control, it's going to get back to the husband. It's going to make their life worse.
Yeah.
It's not going to make things better. Well, here's a question for Andy. This is Justin, who's 18. Justin?
Yeah.
What's up?
Nothing. I was wondering if, when you masturbate, do you get pimples on your face?
Do you?
I do. I don't know. Is that, like, normal? Or am I... Is there something wrong with me?
I thought this was a question for me.
It is.
Oh, it is. Oh. Should I put a pancake on my face?
Oh, yeah. Put a pancake on your face.
I'm just kidding.
It helps, actually. That's the only reason why I put pancakes on my face.
Through your skin?
Nah, yeah. But really. What's wrong, you know? Can anybody answer this?
I'm giving Andy a chance first.
What's wrong with what?
With the fact that he gets pimples when he masturbates.
After I masturbate.
Right after?
No, or, like when I wake up the next morning, I have a few more.
Really?
Yeah.
Try to masturbate with Oxy as lubricant.
So that'll just control the penile pimples.
Are you serious?
But maybe it'll work, though. Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
Okay, whatever happened to your show, Andy?
We're filming new episodes right now.
It's on MTV2.
Okay, tell Ralphie, I said, huh?
I'll tell Ralphie that you have a crush on him.
Okay, tell him. Justin.
Hey, Justin. Love. Justin, here's the deal, dude. You masturbate regularly. You have pimples regularly. Those are independent events. They're both things that happen nearly every day. There is no association that's been studied repeatedly, and there's absolutely no connection between that. Your brain is hooking the two up, but the reality is, pimples happen regularly during the week, and masturbation is happening regularly during the week. So it may seem like they're linking up, but they are not.
It's a coinkydink.
The reality is there's absolutely no reason in today's world for people your age to have acne because it's completely treatable.
Yeah.
There are multiple treatments available. Just your general doctor or a dermatologist can take care of this. The benzoyl peroxide that Andy suggested is a good idea for your face, not for your penis, because you can burn the skin of the penis with the benzoyl peroxide.
It might be worth it, though. It might be fun.
Andy could come film you for that. You'll be running around like a maniac screaming, you know, the F-bomb Andy.
But if you put, like, Pop Rocks on it, would that, like, feel good? you know the popping candy that you put in your mouth that pops?
Yeah.
If you got the Pop Rocks and you put them on your penis, would that feel good?
I don't know. Not you personally.
I'm asking Dr. Drew.
Oh, you're asking me that?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how young males preoccupy with what they can do to women. You know, there's all these, it's called the myths, or you've heard young men talk about, oh, we put Pop Rocks inside her, or we put mints inside her, or had them in my mouth when we had oral. That's all so much crap. That doesn't do anything for women. And yet, strangely, you never hear women think, you know, really thinking about doing that. They're not preoccupied about doing that to men.
Well, a woman tried to, she said, I wonder how Andy would feel if I spit chocolate frosting in his belly button. And she did it, and it made me happy. It was like euphoric feeling.
Tell me more.
That's it.
That's the whole story?
That is. It's a boring story.
So, we were talking last night about how girls are kind of throwing themselves at you a little bit now. Certain kinds of girls?
A little bit. I mean, it's definitely more in L.A. than in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because L.A., there's some shady, you know, shady people. And 90% of the people in Hollywood are trying to be in the entertainment industry. And, you know, they see a little fat kid with a show, and they're just like, maybe I could warm up to him. He probably would never get a girl this hot.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe I could use him. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Andy Mellanocker.
I am. I have a secret. I love America.
Let's hear your rap one more time.
You want it again?
I want it again.
You want to play back, or you want me to read it again?
I
want to
hear it again.
All right. Yo, maybe I could put a little stink on it this time. Yo, son, what up? I'm rapping on Loveline. If you in AA, don't drink that wine. If you an overeater, don't touch that swine. If you think Dr. Drew is sexy, damn right he's fine. Damn right he fine. Damn right he's fine. You better use a rubber or you're gonna get hurt. I don't care, your girlfriend, she's a scuzzy-ass flirt. Don't assume anything because you thought you knew. You're listening to Schmilinakis and Dr. Drew. What up, God?
Yeah. 1-800-LOVE-191, and you can talk to the one and only Schmelishmakis. Anything you want the listeners to know out there?
That I have a secret.
You keep talking about that secret. I'm dying to know what it is.
I love America.
Andy Milonakis, MTV. MTV 2 now, I guess, right?
Yeah, MTV 2, MTV 2.
Can you preview for us what any of the upcoming episodes are? I mean, some of the kinds of skits you've got. Bits?
It's kind of, I don't know. We might have to keep it a secret.
All right, let's take a quick call.
I have a secret.
This is Chad, 23. Chad, what's up?
What's up?
What up, playboy?
I didn't even know Andy Milonakis was going to be on the show tonight, but I'm very glad he is.
Thank you, man. Thanks.
Awesome. The pancake face, I love it.
Thank you, sir. I love you.
I created my own version. It's called Bag Face.
Bag Face? I do that to 20% of the girls that I'm with.
Hey, Chad, we hang on one second. Can you do that? We have to hold. Chad, I got to put you on hold for 1 minute. We got to take a quick break. You all right for that? All right, hold on.
Hold on, buddy.
Just a couple minutes. Says something about his girlfriend's scent, and we're going to find out what he's referring to.
Maybe she smells like olives, or love, or hate, or rainbows and hate.
Andy Milonakis at 1-800-LOVE-191 on Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hello, everybody in the world. This is Andy Milonakis and Dr. Drew, and we are on a show called Loveline, where you call up and say, "Bliggity blah, my penis feels weird. What's my girlfriend's name? I forgot. She doesn't like me to do it from behind. Maybe she does. Mint condoms taste minty. Berry condoms taste berry. Berry delicious. Back to you, Drew boy."
Right, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. And we established last night Andy does like it from behind. Isn't that what we decided?
With the strap on.
That's what I said. That's right. Only with strap on. I remember now. Okay, let's go back to Chad. He's 23.
The Chad man.
What's going on, Chad?
Hello.
You're on with Andy Milonakis.
Andy Milonakis.
Oh, Chad, come on.
I'm driving. I hope you can hear me. I'm on my cell
phone. Well, you better pull over. Your phone's cutting out.
Pull over.
I like Andy Schmelschmakis just much better than anyone. I know your friends are Nani. Yeah.
I'm going to legally change my name to either that or Gainzo Schmainzo.
And Gainzo Schmainzo is a good one? I like Schmelschmakis. It just rolls off the tongue nicely. So, Chad, what's going on?
You're saying I roll off your tongue?
It's back to the only with a strap on.
Can you guys hear me now?
We got you. What's up, Chad?
We're just ignoring you.
Okay. It's kind of a strange thing that's happening to me. I met my girlfriend a few months ago. The first time I hung out with her, she smelled kind of, not like BO, but she had like a distinct, like bodily smell, you know?
Yeah. Did she smell like minty?
No, not minty. It kind of smelled
what
like
about berry?
Like menstruation?
Yeah,
like
almost like
cherry
a
cherry-flavored
like
menstruation?
Like a dirty pad kind of smell, but she doesn't, you know, she wears tampons. She wasn't even like on her period or anything, so it's kind of like curious, like if it's like a pheromone, like if it's just like a scent that like kind of like a
maxi pads makes new track. strawberry maxis for his pleasure. It's like a scent
pads.
That
she
comes out.
Wear pads, though. That's the thing. You know, it's like it wasn't even like she was on her period. You know, I was just kind of like wondering because I first met her, I was wondering if maybe she had bad hygiene or whatever, but she doesn't. You know, it's like
I have the best idea ever. You know those little juice boxes that are like cherry. Just walk by her, like sip on it, and then when she's not looking, just spit some juice box in her hair, and she'll smell like strawberries for the rest of the day.
Really? I don't think she'd like that.
Yeah, she wouldn't like that?
She won't know. She wouldn't know.
Well, Chad, people, you know, everyone has their own kind of thing, and some people smell a little stronger than others, and
I smell like 45-year-old.
If it was something that just, like, kind of like attract, like not attract, but like was just stronger to me, or if it's like something that's like, I'm kind of wondering like if other people can smell it too, or if it's like just something that I can smell.
Well, dogs can smell
like
periods.
Or, you know? Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, dogs and wolves can smell periods easier than humans. So,
yeah, I can, but I'm still an animal. You know, we still have that animal instinct, right?
Yeah, but maybe you're just more like a dog than regular humans
are. Here's something weird, too. This is what really made me want to call, because yesterday, this is kind of strange. It's kind of out there. But I had gas, and when I farted, it smelled different than it usually does. This is serious. It's just a different type of smell. I was just like, this isn't my smell, you know? Like, it doesn't smell like one of my farts, right?
Were you in her presence at the time, or was it something you sort of acquired from her?
I was, that's what I was wondering. If it was like, it's kind of, and then last night we were having sex. Seriously.
You're lying.
It smelled like my fart. Like, I was like, whoa, it kind of freaked me out. Like, seriously.
This
like,
guy
no
is
joke.
Hilarious. You're taking hilarious pills?
What's that?
Are you taking hilarious pills?
No hilarious pills.
Well, Chad, listen, people.
No, but I'm just, like, totally serious. I know it's funny.
I know.
Like,
I know. There's nothing funny about it.
Okay.
You're having sex with her and it smells
like everything.
Your fart.
All right. Here's the deal. How we perceive smells is highly individual, as you're picking up. And yes, indeed, we do sort of acquire one another's scent in the sense that we get used to it and we respond to it and we have certain physiologic reactions to it. It may be that hers is particularly strong. It's probably the case that if it smells strong to you, it's strong to other people too. But what starts happening with time is you start not smelling it, actually, but you do start having it sort of incorporated into your connection with her, let's say.
It's weird because one time a girl told me I smelled like cheese doodles, 45-year-old olives, and Dr. Drew. Is that weird?
That's weird. Had you farted at that time?
No, I
didn't.
We
spent enough time together that maybe my scent has just...
You know what? You know, I told you that yesterday that I wasn't into fart jokes. You made me laugh with a fart joke.
Good.
So that is props. Just like your wife gave me props for not hating
props.
Me on the show, I'm giving you props.
Not hate you, she liked you. But here's the deal. It's more likely to be your perception of scents that are changing than the actual scents themselves. So don't freak out about this too much. So here is Aaron.
Just his two cents.
Who just wants to say something directly to Andy. He's 14. Aaron, what's going on?
Hey.
What's up, boy?
What's up, Andy Milonakis?
How you doing, brother man?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Word?
Yeah. I just been trying to call forever, trying to say hi to you. Me and my friend Jonathan want to say hi. He's not here right now.
He's not here right now. Where is he?
I love your show. It's just, like, so stupid it's funny. I don't know.
Thanks, man. And to show that I really care about my fans, I would love to make fun of you right now. But since you're a fan of the show, I'm not going to. And, you know, I have a lot of love in my heart for you. And hopefully one day we can play checkers together and maybe eat some Oreos and watch Steel Magnolias.
All right on. Except
or Magnolia. Is there an S in it? I don't know.
So next time Shmuel Shmakis is in Orlando, Aaron, he's going to check you out, okay?
We're going to go to Disney World together, man. We're going to rock some Mickey Mouse ears together.
All right.
I love your mouth.
This is David, who's 24. Dave, what's up, buddy?
What's up, players?
What's up, playboy? How you doing, kid? Yo, I'm from Compton, son.
What's going on, David?
So, I got questions. My girlfriend, we've been together for about 3 years now, and when we first got together, it was like I was, like, pulling teeth just, you know, trying to get some. So then
you
one day we
pulled her tooth?
Who?
You pulled her tooth? She had a loose tooth?
Like each other's teeth, you know? Like, I was actually pulling on her teeth in order to try to get some.
When was this?
Working. So then she decided, okay, let's have a kid, and then all of a sudden I got it, like, every day in order to have a son. So then we have
you know. Let me stop you, Dave, because it's kind of interesting. Women often have an erotic drive with attached the idea of reproduction. So for men, the idea of reproduction is something they want to avoid, makes them feel non-sexual. For women, it's something that makes them feel more sexual, more driven.
Oh, do it to me. I want to have a baby. Oh, yes, I want to have a baby. You're so sexy. The baby's coming.
And that's the thing. It's like, oh, I want to have a kid, and all of a sudden they're so sexual. And then even while she was pregnant, we got it all the time. And then now that he has been born, it's...
What's his name? Quick. What's his name?
His name is Nathaniel.
Okay.
David, after pregnancy for that first year, women will shut down almost completely.
Shut down their walls.
And if she's continuing to breastfeed, that the shutdown can even be worse sometimes.
Well,
you might
want breastfeeding like 3 months ago or 6 months ago. No, three months ago.
How long ago? How old's the baby?
He's 9 months now.
All right, so things should start coming around a little bit. And if they're not, you may want to talk to a gynecologist.
If he's
about
9 months, he won't know if you're cheating on her. So you could go to, like, you know, strip clubs and
I'm trying different birth control pills. Sometimes hormones will kind of get things kick-started again. And there all kinds of things can go wrong in that first year, postpartum depressions. There's lots of biological changes. And she should be talking to her doctor about sort of restoring that chemistry so she can begin to feel sexual again. It sounds like she's not a very sexual person with you to begin with, so it certainly isn't going to be better after a pregnancy. Aaron, 23.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I had a question for Dr. Drew.
What's
up? Do you think about opioids actually being used for depression instead of, you know, SSRIs or SNRIs or, you know, what have you? Do you think it's plausible that they could be used?
It's plausible. It's been in the psychiatric literature. I think it's a horrible idea.
Really?
The only people whom I've seen that work for are opiate addicts who feel as though their depression is being treated, when in reality, what they're doing is really gratifying an addiction. And so it works for a while, and then the addiction accelerates, and then it just spirals out of control.
Right. I know that I've tried a few different, antidepressants, and they've never really worked for me.
Well, here's the deal. If you're an addict, no antidepressants work till you get completely sober at least 6 to 12 months and you're active in a program. Nothing will work as long as you're using. And it sounds like for the people who seek opiates, there's usually a trauma history there. And so using the opiate sort of suppresses all those horrible feelings associated with the trauma, and that's where it seems like it's an antidepressant for you. But really what it is an emotional regulator. It just makes everything seem okay, but you're suppressing dysregulation. You're not really using it. It's not really an antidepressant.
And you know what they say, save that trauma for your mama.
Gotcha, Andy. No, but also with opiates, you know, they are dopamine agonists, correct?
It's somebody who has pure depression, they don't work, in my opinion. It's really trauma survivors managing trauma and dysregulation.
Trauma survivors.
That the reason why things feel better and okay on opiates, but I've actually, if that's all there was, then it would be reasonable for it to be used as a therapy. The fact, though, is I've seen it tried many times, and God knows every opiate addict tries it, and you really need to be sober before you can expect anything to work for you. Lynette, 21, what's up, Lynette?
Hi, is this Dr. Drew?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
You're on with Andy Milonakis. Hang on, Lynette, hold on. Hold your horses here. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. You're on with?
Andy Milonakis.
Andy Milonakis is on tonight, Lynette.
Hello?
Okay. What's up, Lynette?
Sorry, I ruined you, baby.
Hey. Actually, I had a question. I'm kind of nervous right now because I've been trying to get through for the past couple days. Anyways, when I masturbate, I use an electric toy. And
what kind of toy?
Electric, you know, vibrating.
Uh-huh.
General Electric?
That's what it sounded like she said.
And whatever. And
I use a GE air conditioner to masturbate.
Until, like, I'm, like, totally numb down there. I only masturbate a couple times a week, but, I mean, I, like, keep going.
That's too much.
And finally, it just gets really numb. Is that bad?
That's too much. You're supposed to only masturbate once a year. Haven't you read the book?
No. I'm talking about the one time that I'm masturbating, and that one time...
You only masturbate once a year now?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Can I talk to Drew?
No, Dr. Drew is not here right now. He's masturbating. It's his one time of the year. Mm-hmm. He's actually getting numb down there, too, right now. He's using a General Electric air conditioner.
Okay, well, I kind of would like an answer to my...
All right, I'll give you a straight answer. It's supposed to get numb as long as your emotions are in some. Oh, okay, Dr. Drew.
Okay.
An emotions thing, an emotional roller coaster. If your emotion is going through an emotional roller coaster on emotion, a street in Playland or Action Adventure Park, then Master Numb.
Lynette?
Yes.
Okay. So, is what you're saying that you have to masturbate to exhaustion? You have to have multiple orgasms until you're just exhausted?
Yeah, no, I'm not exhausted.
Hold on.
The vibrator is bump bump.
Stay with me. Do you have one orgasm or many?
No, I get many, but
okay. So you keep going until you're basically sort of exhausted, right?
I guess you could say.
You're okay. Being greedy.
You are. Why don't you stop before that? Because then things won't be so.
Because I enjoy it so much. I mean, I don't orgasm through sex.
That's
so
why people weigh 800 pounds. If they enjoy cake too much, they weigh 800 pounds. If they enjoy orgasming too much, their vagina is numb. If they enjoy drugs too much, they die. Don't die. Don't let your vagina die. This is an outrage.
I think you should become a preacher, Andy. There's a career for you there. Moralizing about numb vaginas is really
either,
something that's your
you
calling.
Know, you give or take a little. You either have a numb vagina or just...
Well, Lynette, here's the deal. You can actually desensitize yourself. It's not bad. There's nothing wrong with it. But you can make it more difficult to have orgasm with a real person. Now, that's okay. But listen, you can become what's called dependent on the vibrator, so you can start using it with your partner and bring it into the bedroom and that kind of thing. And that's not that big a deal, but you can kind of overdo things. So what I'm suggesting
don't
is...
Don't waste your vagina.
Right. I'm suggesting you sort of save it a little bit. Don't go all the way to exhaustion. Learn to sort of, you know, moderate this a little bit. When you start feeling the numbness, back off.
It's like a scratch and sniff sticker. After a while, the strawberry just smells like paper and not strawberries anymore.
There's something called a jackhammer neuropathy, where guys that operate jackhammers and things from all the repetitive vibration,
I heard about that.
Their hands go numb permanently. And we don't want that to happen to your
nanny, your punani.
No, I don't. It's just very helpful for me because I was kind of worried after a while.
It's all you're healthy. It's a good thing.
Oh yeah. What if you operate a jackhammer with your vagina? Does it go and shake? You know, like in the cartoons when they're constantly shaking.
It goes brrr, brrr, as she walks away.
Because if so, that would be cool. Sign me up,
now, Lynette,
cowboy.
Your concern is appropriate, but let's not injure the nerves down there. It's fine. You're doing a good thing for yourself, but don't go too crazy, all right?
Only one, baby. Only one.
Well, no, she's not going to stop at one. How many are you good for, by the way?
I'm sorry?
How many orgasms do you have when you engage in this action?
You know what? I don't really keep track.
We're talking about 30 or 10 or
I'm gonna estimate. I think probably about 20.
20.
I don't know. Maybe less.
How long does it take?
Andy is a very serious and pensive look. He wants to know how long that takes to do 20.
Because it takes me about an hour to do 20 push-ups. So if you could orgasm if you could orgasm 20 times in an hour, that means. That means something to me.
How long does it take?
How long does what?
20.
Well, I usually only masturbate for like 15 minutes. And then I'm
oh,
done.
My goodness. You know what? Wouldn't it be awesome if we had an orgasm push-up race? I had to do 20 push-ups in an hour, and you had to do 20 orgasms in an hour, and we had a split screen, and we just went for it. That would be pretty awesome to watch, wouldn't it?
That would be really interesting.
How old are you again? Are you legal?
21.
I'm 21.
All right, we're going to arrange this. It's going to be a pay-per-view event.
All right, Lynette. Good luck, okay?
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Drew.
All right, take care.
Yeah,
now.
Thank you. Bye. What am I, chopped liver?
Andy Schmelschmackis, also known as chopped liver. 1-800-LOVE-191. Blah, blah, blah. Couples in. Hey, okay, here we go. This is Travis, 17.
What's up?
Hey, Travis, what's happening?
Oh, not much, just hanging out.
17. He sounds like he's 35.
He sounds like he's sexy teen.
What's up, Travis?
Well, there's this girl, man, and I dated her for about 2 months, and, you know, we had a lot of sex, but it's like...
Ew!
And, she keeps calling and calling, and, you know, I don't know how, like, there's like a, I'm trying to figure out a way just to tell, you know, I don't want to be mean or nothing, but I just wanted to
change your number.
Have you continued to have sex with her?
Yeah.
All right, why don't you cut that out? When a young woman...
No, I'm not doing it now. I'm not doing it now.
Good.
But we did a lot, like...
I know. For her, she's in love with you, Travis. She really is into this relationship, and you're going to have to make it clear to her what you're feeling or not feeling. And that's okay. You're entitled not to be in love with somebody. Now, realize... How old is she? Please say 18. 15.
Ay, caramba.
Travis, don't do this to 15-year-olds anymore, okay?
Right.
She equates the sexual act with love, and she is in. And you may have kind of hurt her this way, so it's good that you understand that and want to let her down easy, but you're going to have to be clear that this isn't working out, if that's the case.
Well, see, the thing is that she cheated on me, you know, and it pissed me off, so then that's why I broke up with her. And, you know,
she's 15.
She's trying to make up with it. This sounds like chaos, Travis. Oh, what a mess. She had sex with another guy?
Yeah.
At 15, actually. Come on. What?
At 15, having sex with another guy is like, I'm going to have a gumball. No, I'm going to go buy a pair of socks. It's like the same thing to them. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They're 15 years old. You got to, you know, move on.
I don't think you understood what you meant by that. She should be thinking about gumballs and socks, not the next sexual partner. Yeah, Travis, it sounds like a tough situation, and she does not sound like a healthy person. If you want to stay with her, that's fine. But boy, oh boy.
That's fine for another year.
Yeah, if you're not into it, be clear about it. It sounds like she wants to make up and keep this relationship going, but I'm going to predict that it's going to continue to be chaos, even if you do hook back up with her. This is Allie, who's 14. Allie?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing.
You're on with Andy Schmelishmakis. What's your other name?
Gainzo Schmainzo.
Here we go, Allie.
All right.
You're on the air.
Okay.
Honk.
All right. Well, I've always had a really big stress problem, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've always been really anxious and self-conscious and like, before parties and everything, I'll usually puke because I'm so just freaked out by anything. And like before school in the morning, like I can't shaky.
I'm listening. What happens before school?
Like I just get shaky and sweaty, and I can't not wear like t-shirts or anything because I just sweat all over them, and I've got to wear like two shirts every day just so
what is it that's making you so panicky? Is it being around other people? Is it being in open spaces? Are you depressed? What's happening?
Well, I feel depressed sometimes, and like usually it's around other people. Like,
so it's like a social phobia?
Yeah.
There's a medicine called Paxil, and that would be controversial to use in somebody your age, but there are things out there that have been suggested for adults to help with social phobia, and you know, you ought to look into this because this sounds awful.
Yeah.
Is there any reason you're fearful of other people?
I don't know why. I've just been this way since I was like 11, actually.
Do kids pick on you at school?
No, I'm not really cool, but I'm not like a loser either, so.
I think you're cool, personally.
See, thank you.
Does that reduce your anxiety to hear that, or is that...
Not really.
You just dismissed. You have self-esteem problems, too?
Yeah. Like, I mean, even right now, I'm just shaking and sweating just because I'm actually talking to somebody else.
Were you traumatized growing up? Were you neglected? Did anything happen to you?
No.
Your parents are still around?
Mm-hmm.
Have you told them about all this?
My dad knows. He was always kind of like this, too, but not this bad.
Yeah, it sounds like a constitutional thing, like something that's really sort of part of your chemistry.
What do you think is bad could happen by just talking to someone? Like, what are your fears? What are you afraid of?
I don't even know what I'm really afraid of. I'm...
Like, you know what I mean?
So it's not like a real fear. It's anxiety. So there's nothing directed about it. It's just anxiety flying around. Allie, I would really urge you to try to get some professional help with this. Why not? You're suffering with it. It sounds like it's in your family. It's a genetic thing in your situation. You have no trauma. Things like talking and all are, of course, helpful. You learn to sort of be close to people and regulate these feelings a little bit. But it sounds like something neurobiological in your case. It could even be something medical, like a thyroid condition or God knows what. So please, let's go get this. Tell your dad you want to do something, or your mom you want to do something about this and get it taken care of. This is Jennifer, 21.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
I'm from Texas, and I'm dating an older man. He's 40.
Oh.
40. And I was wondering why he's unable to orgasm when I go down on him.
Don't they say life starts at 40?
In this guy's case. All right, yeah. Jennifer, we're suspicious about this guy. Hold on a second. We got to take a break, okay?
Okay.
Can you hang on? All right, we're going to get to the bottom or the top or whatever of this.
Yeah.
You're on with Andy Schmella Schmackes. Those of you that have been lucky enough to get through on 1-800-LOVE.
Lucky town.
1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. This is Loveline, and we will be right back.
Loveline is coming back.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Operators are standing by.
Loveline will be back in a minute.
Everybody, everybody in the world, everybody in a different world, not the old show with Dwayne Wayne. This is Andy Milonakis and Dr. Drew and Loveline, call us and talk about your privates.
And 1-800-LOVE-191, we were talking to Jennifer, who is 21, with a 40-year-old guy. And what was it you were telling us about him?
He's sexy.
He's not able to orgasm when I go down on him.
What a loser. No, I'm just kidding.
There are those guys. There are definitely those guys.
Really?
Have you been having? Yeah. Have you been having sex with this guy also?
Yes. I'm actually pregnant.
Ooh.
Sexy time.
And he has no trouble when he's doing that, then, right?
No, not at all.
That was 21 too. There is that guy, and
I mean, he
some
says
guys,
he really enjoys it and everything. I mean, he says I'm excellent at it, and.
Well, you are pretty good.
I mean, is there anything I could do differently, do you think?
No, don't bother. He's happy. Listen, one thing about men is they will tell you what their sweet spot is. They're very clear about getting to that place.
All right.
And he's fine. He doesn't like oral as much as intercourse, and he actually doesn't climax with it, and that's fine. He's good with that, okay?
Maybe she's trying to keep him away from his old gray hairy balls.
That's sexy. Did does he have salt and pepper down there?
Do what?
Salt and pepper.
No. I don't know what you mean by that.
How about paprika or cumin?
No.
Does he complain? Does he complain about it? Does he say like you're not doing it right, or are you just?
No, he
insecure?
Said he loves it. I mean.
No.
I can't deep throat. Do you think that would change it?
No. And Jennifer, will you stop? Come on.
Yeah.
Cut it out. You must have had a boyfriend that was really into it, and that's why you figured all men are totally into that. All men like it. Not all men are as into it as others, okay?
Okay.
Are you really into it?
All right, thanks. We're going to check Brittany. It's 14. Brittany.
Yeah.
14, huh?
Yep.
What's up? I hope you're plugging your ears on that last call.
No, it was naughty.
What's up with you?
Just chilling. Oh, did you hear from a call from Aaron recently?
Yeah, Aaron called.
Yeah, he's on the line. So is Jonathan.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey.
Oh, wait, Jonathan was his friend, remember?
Yeah.
He's the one you're going to go to Orlando to
yeah,
to
Mickey
play checkers
Mouse.
With and eat Oreos and watch Steel Magnolias.
Wow, you remembered. You know
oh,
what?
Oh, yeah.
I love you.
I love you, too.
I love you more.
So what's up with Brittany?
I wanted to ask that my boyfriend
Sorry,
has, like, his head on his penis is bigger than the shaft.
Brittany, 14. Really? Really?
Yes.
Yeah. You're thinking about this stuff at 14?
Yeah.
Come on. Andy, please help this girl. She's more closer to your age than mine.
Did those two boys you're talking to tell you to say that?
No.
You
come
sure?
on.
Not really.
No, I.
Come on, admit it. If you admit it, we'll give you 10 points.
Okay.
Did you tell her to say it? Please tell me.
I didn't. No.
Who Jonathan did. Jonathan did.
Who told you to say it?
I said it.
So you've been having sex with guys?
No.
Or your boyfriend? You've just seen his penis. You've just seen it. Okay. Yes, that's normal. That's very common. Yes, that's very common.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Hang on a second.
Pancake on my face makes me extra happy.
What? Oh, pancake. Andy has something to tell you, Brittany.
Yes.
I have a secret. I love America.
Beth, 25.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Beth, what's going on?
I just wanted to tell you, well, for starters, I listen to your show every night when I got off work, and I absolutely love you guys. I think you're so great.
Oh, my God, yes, for serious?
Kind. Yeah.
What's up?
It sounds so stupid. My ex-boyfriend and I, we were together for probably about a year and a half, and he's a little bit older than me. He was actually 32 years old, so I figured he'd be a little bit more mature than me. But we broke up about 5 months ago, and ever since then, we've been sleeping together still. And he's been with other people also. I unfortunately haven't been able to kind of move on and be with someone else. But
well, Beth, hold on a second. You're still sleeping with your ex-boyfriend, right?
Yeah, I am.
This is the stupid part, right?
Yeah, it's the stupid part.
Okay. It's hard, right? It's hard when you're alone and you don't want to let go. And, of course, he's more than willing to sleep with you because he's having
sex.
Because
he's a dude.
He's having sex. What's not in it for him?
Exactly.
He's out of the relationship. He's been released. He's on the market. And he's having sex whenever he wants it. Fantastic.
Vajayjay. Yeah.
But you, on the other hand, stay connected with this guy. And that's why you're really not available for other relationships because you're so emotionally tied up with this guy. And it's really hard to have sex with somebody and then go out and date. It's very you got to get over this one. You got to end contact. You got to change your whatever. Change your email, your phone number. Just
delete
him.
That's kind of been an issue right now because we have some kind of finances that are involved together, and it's kind of hard to just cut ties when
you have what together?
We have finances together. We live together. We had lived together at the time that we broke up, and things were still kind of in my name, and he still kind of owes me money for certain things. And
you know what?
Sex.
As much as you can, cut your losses. Because the emotional expense is far greater than any financial expense you're incurring right now. Get him out of there. If it's in your name, get him out and get on with it. And if he owes you money, forget it. It's a loss. It's well worth the investment of getting your dignity back.
It's like the Bronx Tale when the kid owed him $20 and he kept chasing him.
It's really.
And he's like, "Hey, do you like this guy? No? Good, for $20 he's out of your life."
It's really why it's important to keep clear boundaries in relationships. Don't you know, take on a pet together and multiple financial endeavors together because you're not married. You're sort of thinking, "Well, this is." Yeah, I understand. You were thinking like you were on the road to marriage, but you're not married. And don't do that. Keep your boundaries clear until you really are married.
Yeah.
And if you have a chia pet, make sure that you get equal visitation rights.
No. She needs to have complete custody.
Okay.
Custody of the chia pet.
Chia.
All right, Beth. You know what you got to do.
You just want to hear from a sexy man with nice glasses.
That's exactly it.
And his name rhymes with Dr. Schmoo.
And you need to have some keep your friends around you. You need support. You need people who like us who say, "Hey, come on."
Yeah.
You're on your own, you're going to cave to this guy. So keep your friends close, okay?
Cave, no pun intended.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Bye. Andy, you said cave.
Bring Beavis and Butthead back.
Sarah, 22.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I got a question. I've been with my girlfriend now for 5 months.
Ooh, hot stuff.
She's not able to get me off. And I've tried telling her how to, and she takes offense to it.
What do you tell her?
Well, because I had it pierced before, and it's like I lost. It's very sensitive in one area, and I try
What's
to tell her
it?
To move upwards.
Sam, I am.
What is it?
Sam, I am.
I had my clit pierced.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to say it.
I do not like green eggs and ham.
I do not like vagueness. I like to hear the word.
Okay.
The word makes me happy. It puts the lotion on its skin. It puts it in the basket.
And that was Bill Cosby.
No,
today.
I was going to say it's time.
I try to tell her to go up with it, and she like takes offense. So she's like, "I'm not doing it right," and this and this and that, and like I feel
maybe
bad.
She likes dudes.
No.
I don't understand. Is it how you're giving? Are you commanding her? Are you ordering her to do things? Is she feeling sort of threatened by that or vulnerable?
No,
or are you able? You're saying gently, "Here, come on over here."
She wants to do it. I hardly ever let her do anything to me because it's not fun for me. Like, she's not getting me off. I do it myself, and I'm fine. But when she tries to get me off, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Tell her to take a refresher course. I think they give classes. Where do you live?
Florida.
Oh, yeah. At Disney World, I think they give clit stimulation refresher courses.
I feel like the moon ride is really good.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Okay, Sarah, listen. And why don't you try it this way? It's getting her to listen to your needs without feeling defensive. So is there some time when you guys are sort of communicating well that you could sort of say, look, I want to explain something to you. I know how to do this, and it's hard. I know it's uncomfortable to hear, but let me just explain it. Just make sure you get this, because it's really important to me that we sort of have this kind of connection. Okay?
Well, so, I mean, I've tried everything, and, like, I told her, I was like, if you want to please me like you say that you do, then just let me tell you how I want it done.
All right, but Sarah, you're already starting off with a very aggressive tone. It's like, if you want to do that, it's like, look, this is important that we share this together. I want to I just want to tell you how this works for me, and it's very hard for her to hear it. But please, just sit there and listen, just for 1 second, and don't tell her when you're in the throes of battle there in the bedroom. That's not going to go well at all. This is Laurel 17.
Hey.
Hey, Laurel. You're on with Andy Schmel.
And she's on this birth control. It's a shot.
Depo shot?
Yeah.
Okay. And when she gets that shot, she will bleed continuously for about 3 months, and then her period will go away completely. That's
really?
That's how that shot works.
Ouch.
Okay.
Now, what's your question?
She was wondering, and she didn't want to call herself, so.
The doctor didn't tell her that?
No.
Weird, because that's how it works. And sometimes the bleeding can go up to 6 months.
Dr. Drew just nailed it. He didn't even listen to your question. He was like, blow, that's what's going on. He just, like, knocked it out. Like, he was like, blow, blow.
Here's the other thing with the
dome. He pulled out, like, a shotgun, and he just shot some truth into your dome.
Here's the other thing about that shot is it can make some people kind of depressed. It can kind of shut them down sexually. So it's not for everybody, and a lot of people get freaked out by this bleeding and then not bleeding. That has no implications whatsoever for their health. It's very safe, and it's an excellent birth control if you don't have other side effects, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right, Laurel, that's it.
And she said that she might gain weight. Is that true?
Usually not from Depo. Usually not. It's possible, but usually not.
Only from Johnny Depo. He makes you feel bad about yourself. And
because you eat chocolate. You eat a lot of chocolate. He runs a chocolate factory.
Yeah.
Right?
That was on a different level.
Shmel Shmakas in here tonight. 1-800-LOVE-191. You want to throw it to commercial there, Andy?
Dirty Talk will be right back after me and Dr. Drew find out the meaning of life.
Excuse me?
Loveline's coming back in a minute.
Yo, don't go nowhere.
Right, Andy Schmel Schmackes in here with us tonight at 1-800-LOVE-191. Give him a call. Loveline. We're going right to the phone. This is Travis. He is 20. Travis?
Hello?
Hey, you're on with Andy Schmel Schmackes.
How's it going?
What's up, yo? How you doing, kid? Yo, look out, yo.
I'm doing pretty good.
I don't know who that was. I have multiple personalities.
Moti.
Okay, it's all good. Hey, I got a question for you guys.
Yep.
Okay, me and my girlfriend were having sex, and she was on top, and then, like, she said she got off, but when I stood up, it ran off me like pee, and there was a whole lot of it, and it turned out that she had peed on me.
No, and she didn't pee. If women can sometimes sort of orgasm. They can have an ejaculation.
They can what?
They can have an ejaculation. They can have fluid come out.
Right, but this was urine.
How do you know?
Because like,
it smelled like it.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Right.
It smelled like urine?
Common, or like, because she said she couldn't control it, and it was an accident.
She knew that she peed.
She was just trying to get off.
She knew that she peed.
Yeah.
Well, that's female orgasmic incontinence. It's not unheard of by any stretch. It usually happens to people that have had children. Has she ever had a baby?
No.
It's, you know, less common in women that have not had children.
Are you saying you think she tried to do it to, like, fake an orgasm?
No, I don't think she tried to do it. At least I hope, you know, that she didn't try to. She said that she swore up and down it was an accident. She told me what she was trying to do was, like, get off, you know, and then she, like, squeezed out some urine or something.
All right, well, there you go. What's the big deal?
But, I mean, is that, like...
Big deal is how is he going to get his sheets clean?
Right, like, I don't know. I just found that to be... It freaked me out, man, you know. And I didn't know if it's, like, the only time it's ever happened or if it's ever happened before.
No, all listeners, whatever's happening to any of you, it's not the first time.
And just think, there are a million people out there who would pray for that to happen.
Right. It has a name, Travis. It's called female orgasmic incontinence. And I just told you, it's common in women that have had babies. It's less common in women that haven't. And it happens.
It's also called sexy.
Okay.
All right. There you go. This is Kenneth, 15. Kenneth?
Yeah.
Hi, dude.
What's up?
What's up?
Yeah, dude, I got a question. Okay, there's this girl at school, right? And she's, like, really, really popular, and I'm not the type that's actually popular.
Is it Lindsay Lohan?
No. No, man, her name is Brittany, and...
Brittany Spears?
No.
What's the question, Kenneth?
Okay, yeah, all right. This girl's, like, really, really popular and, like, super hot.
And she's probably a bitch.
And I'm the kind of guy who really isn't that popular in school. And I'm wanting to know how I would go about asking her out.
Why aren't you that popular?
Well, it's kind of a awkward thing.
What's the problem?
It's just things have happened to me in the past, like I would get picked on and that. So
okay, well, you first pansy. Of all, that was the S word there, Anderson. So Kenneth got to put you on hold for dropping a little S bomb there. So that part of the problem may be maybe you're not picking up social cues and self aware and that kind of good stuff. If you don't have a lot of good friends, and we could easily say, hey, Kenneth, you just get your ass together and just, you know, pick up your courage and go talk to this girl. I don't think that'd be a very responsible thing for us to tell you, frankly.
And it's usually easy to say that if it's a girl in high school and she's really hot and really popular, most likely she's a bitch.
And most likely...
And it's not just girls. I mean, the guys, the opposite side and the guys that are really popular and really good-looking, they're probably idiots, you know, like... But, that's just usually how it works.
But even if you, without disparaging other people, I would at least say that if she's really popular, she has lots of opportunity, and she undoubtedly has boyfriends or sees other people.
Bitch.
Sandy Dick. And if she were into you, you'd know it. Do you know what I mean? The word would get around to you. You can certainly send out some feelers, you know, sort of. Send out, maybe talk to a friend of hers. What are the possibilities? But before you put yourself in a position where you really feel bad because you get sort of shut down, do some research. Check. Wouldn't you agree, Andy?
I agree, because, like, giving you false hope and saying, just do it, man. You never know what she's going to say. Maybe she'll like you. Maybe she will, but, like, don't get false hope by that.
Right,
like,
because it can be very painful to sort of, you know, get up everything you've got to go.
Kids are cruel. Welcome to the dollhouse. Go rent that and see how cruel people are.
Yeah, but do go ahead and do your research and see what you can find out about her, but accept reality. If you find out she has a boyfriend or she's not really interested, if you don't hear anything, if you don't hear she would be very excited about that, anything other than that, don't do it.
Also, think about why you like her. Is she like this celebrity to you that, like, this really hot, really popular, like, you know, you hold her on a pedestal? Or do you like her because, like, you know the type of person she is, you know that... She's good-looking, but you also know who she is, and you know things about her that make you like her. Is she some, like, unreachable target, or, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I like her, and I know that she's, like, a really nice, sweet type of girl that wouldn't take.
Have you ever talked to her?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to her.
Oh, good. All right. So, kind of do some research, lay some groundwork before you put it all on the line. Okay.
All right.
Keep talking to her. Maybe someday there will be more opportunity. Stay close to her. Hang around. Men are really good at that. They're getting sort of being the friend and hanging out. And women are always so bewildered by when they break up with their boyfriend and one thing leads to another. I don't understand it. You know, all of a sudden there he was and he was available for me.
He was just like my good friend. And like then we just like started making out. And it was okay because like I was broken up and like he was there for me through all my hard times. And then he put his penis in me.
Have you ever done that? You ever been the good friend?
I am every day. No,
why? You ever done it?
I don't really have that kind of a scheming mind. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of girls that are.
But there are a lot of girls that guys, you know, young guys particularly, are friends with girls because they were attracted to them, and then there was no reciprocation, and so they kind of hang out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But they keep hanging. They're waiting. They're biding their time.
You're waiting and buying it, but sometimes you're just like, oh, they're really hot, and then you're just like, oh. Well, I'm not going to get lucky with them, but they're cool.
Well, eventually it just becomes Jill. You know what I mean? It just becomes that person.
Yeah.
It's no longer the
Jill that you want to make sweet love to.
All right, this is Colleen 15. 15. Colleen, what's up?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey there. What's happening?
Hi. I had a question about my sexuality. Like, a lot of my friends...
You're a lesbian.
Well, if I was bisexual.
You're bisexual.
Like
you're a lesbian. So bisexual means something happened to you. What happened to you?
Well,
the fact that you're sort of declaring yourself bisexual at 15, what happened?
Well, I don't. I've talked to my mom about it. I've never told her that I might think I'm bisexual. But
what happened to you? Were you sexually abused, physically abused? What happened?
Nothing really. I wasn't really sexually abused, but like in second or third grade, my best friend, like. My only best friend, Jessica, she, like, made me, like, get naked and stuff and...
Okay, that's called sexual abuse.
Okay.
And child-on-child sexual abuse is very common. It means that she was sexually abused by an adult. And if there was actually directed sexuality in that encounter, like she was sort of really... It was actually sexual. It wasn't just sort of experimentation. That is something that needs to be addressed. That can be very traumatizing, create a lot of confusion, and it seems like that's kind of what you're dealing with. So this is not about you just magically becoming bisexual. This is still the consequence of all that early trauma. And what you should tell your mom about is not declaring your major at 15, what am I, but talk to her about having had that trauma. Maybe she can get you some help with that.
Dirty talk. It's dirty talk.
We actually have to take a break. Maybe we can hear that rap one more time before we sign off tonight. So we're going to be back in just a minute with Andy Schmelschmackes.
Excuse me?
Loveline's coming back in a minute.
Yo, don't go nowhere.
That does it for Loveline and Andy Schmelschmackes.
I have a secret. I love America.
Do you love Loveline?
I love
Fantastic.
Dirty Talk.
We will have you back on Dirty Talk soon. Yes, Thank all of you for participating tonight. This is Dr. Drew Dan on behalf of Andy Schmelschmackes saying good night and stay well.
Thank you. Yo, son, what up? I'm rapping on Loveline. If you in AA, don't drink that wine. If you in Overeater, don't touch that swine. If you think Dr. Drew is sexy, damn right he's fine. Damn right he fine. Damn right he's fine. You better use a rubber or you're gonna get hurt. I don't care. Your girlfriend, she's a scuzzy-ass flirt. Don't assume anything because you thought you knew. You're listening to Schmelschmackes and Dr. Drew. What up, God?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.